Welcome again to Calvary Chapel, Kampala. Each one of you, you're welcome. It's nice to see you. Glad that you are here. If you have a Bible, you can turn it to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll be reading from chapter 5. Let's pray together before we begin. Father, we look to you this morning and we pray, Lord, that despite our insufficiency, despite our lack of love for you, Lord, that you would touch us, that you would help us, that you would work in our hearts and lives, Lord, that you would continue to work mightily in this church, in this congregation, in each one of us, Lord, to further your gospel, your glory, your kingdom in this earth. Father, it is our desire to be used of you. That you would pour out your Spirit upon us. That you would work in our lives this morning and guide each one of us in your service. Father, help us to live each day like it's our last. To live each day in your the expectation of your return. And Father, this morning we pray that you would guide us through your Word. Your Word is truth. And help us to be changed by it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Let's read together. It says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." For the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about the return of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and also the beginning of chapter 5 deal with this issue of Jesus is coming back. And I've been asking the question, are you ready? Are you ready for the rapture? That event where the Lord will call His church to meet with Him in the air. Are you ready for that time? Has your life been changed? Are you ready for the Lord's return? Well, this morning we're going to kind of shift gears. It's on this side. Shift gears. And change from the future, the Lord's return, to the present. We're here right now. Amen? We're looking forward to the Lord's return, but while we are looking forward to the Lord's return, we are living our lives right now. Amen? We're looking forward to the Lord's return, that's the future, but we still have to deal with the present. What are you going to do today in your life? And the Bible here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 through 28, are really giving us an exhortation to action right now, today. Exhortation. That is really telling us what we should be doing. That's what the word to exhort means, to tell someone what they should be doing, not with sharpness or with a critical attitude. It's not a rebuke. It's really just a message. Here's what you should do. Here's what I should do today. Right now. You see, the Bible is practical. Did you know that? It's practical. Practical means it helps us in our everyday lives, teaches us what we should do, how we should act. And this morning we have many, I read it. You read along with me, I hope. Many things where it just says, you should do this. You shouldn't do this. You should do this. You shouldn't do this. That's God's Word. And this morning we're going to look at some things. By the way, we're still looking forward to the Lord's return, expecting Him to return. But this morning we're going to look at what we should do in the meantime. Amen? What we should do in the meantime. Someone once said to me, there are people who are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Have you heard that before? I don't agree with that. Because I believe the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you will be. But I can get the people are frustrated because people are always talking about the Lord, but they're really not acting for the Lord day by day. They're not doing what the Lord wants them to do. They just talk about the Lord and say, I'm waiting for the Lord, but they're not actually living for the Lord. Here we have some exhortations, some encouragements from the Word of God for us. Verse 12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. The first thing we see here in these exhortations is that the congregation should have a respect and actually a love for the pastors of the congregation. There are certain things in the Bible that are difficult to teach. I've said this before. Especially when we're in the Old Testament, there are these issues. But if I'm just going to be open with you this morning, this is difficult for me to teach. It's hard for me to tell someone you need to love me. It's hard for me to teach these things, but this isn't my word, it's the Word of God, so I have to teach it anyway. You need to love me. All joking aside, the truth is that we should respect, we should love, we should honor and follow the leaders that God has placed in our lives. Within the church, in the Word of God, it sets up a system of authority. Men of God who are called to lead, shepherd, guide, and be responsible for the congregation that God has put under their care. These men of God are called pastors or elders. Some translations, they're called bishops. That's not my translation. Hello, praise God, my name is Bishop Brian. How does that sound? The word is literally an overseer, a shepherd. A shepherd means a pastor. And there should be a respect for that person in leadership within the church. Now, I know today here in Kampala there is an abuse of that position of authority in the church. Is that true? There is abuse. Meaning this, there are certain people who call themselves pastors, reverend, bishop, whatever the title is, who put the title there and who demand for people to respect them, but the truth is that their lifestyle, their conduct, what they teach, what they do, does not deserve respect at all. And these men and women sometimes are standing in the churches declaring, I am the man of God, I am the woman of God, you need to do A, B, C, D. First of all, give me your money. Secondly, do exactly what I say. You know what I'm talking about. There's an abuse, but we shouldn't let the abuse of authority in the church scare us from giving proper respect and honor to those who are pastors in the church. Even if they're not perfect. Amen? Did you know I'm not perfect? Some of you may know that. Some of you may not. I'm not perfect. There's actually a story of a church congregation who was looking for a new pastor to lead the congregation. So they formed a committee. They had a chairman and all of the rest, and they had different names of candidates and comments on each one that they had. This isn't, you're going to see the list of candidates, you're going to know this isn't a true story, but it's funny. Noah was their first candidate. He has 120 years of preaching experience, but no converts. He's out. Moses, he stutters, and his former congregation says he loses his temper. He's out. Abraham, he took off to Egypt during hard times. We heard that he got into trouble with the authorities and then tried to lie his way out. Abraham's not going to be the pastor. David, he has unacceptable moral character. He might have been considered for minister of music had he not fallen. Solomon, he has a reputation for wisdom, but fails to practice what he preaches. Elijah, proved to be inconsistent and is known to fail under pressure. Hosea, his family life is bad. He's been divorced and remarried to a prostitute. Did you know that about the prophet Hosea? Jeremiah, he's too emotional. Amos, comes from a farming background, better off picking figs. John, some of you will get this, I thought that was funny. He says he's a Baptist, but lacks tact and dresses like a hippie. I like Baptists, by the way. Peter, he has a bad temper, and he was heard to have even denied Christ publicly. He can't be the pastor. Paul, we found him to lack tact. He's too harsh. His appearance is contemptible, and he preaches too long. Timothy has potential, but he is much too young for the position. Praise the Lord. I like that one. Jesus. He tends to offend church members with his preaching, especially Bible scholars. He is also too controversial. He even offended the church committee with his pointed questions. Jesus isn't good. The one person they did find was Judas. He seemed to be very practical, cooperative, good with money, cares for the poor, dresses well. We all agree that he is just the man we're looking for to fill the vacancy as our pastor. We can laugh about those different candidates for the pastorate, but one thing is true, that nobody's perfect. Not even the leaders, the pastors that God has here. And God knows that. But the Word of God is still here to recognize the leaders, not their title, but their service that they offer. Also to esteem, it says there, to esteem very highly in love for their work's sake. A pastor, a reverend, a bishop is not to be esteemed because they are called pastor, reverend, or bishop. They are to be esteemed highly because they do the work of a pastor, reverend, or a bishop. Praise God. We're done with that part. Love your leaders. One pastor was talking to another. And he said, how many of the members of your church are active members? Meaning they're doing something. How many are active members? One pastor said to another. And the other pastor said to him, all of my members are active members. The other man said, whoa, praise God. That's an outstanding achievement, he said. And the other pastor said, I wouldn't be too sure of that. Half of them actively support me, and half of them are actively against me. Esteem them highly for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. I'll tell you this, being a pastor, being a leader in this church congregation, it is easier to be a pastor, to be a leader of the church, when the people are at peace among themselves. Did you know that? This is my life, really. I'm a pastor. This is my job. This is what I do. I think about it all week. Some people say it must be easy being a pastor. You just have to work on Sunday morning. No, I'm working. You see, I'm trying to get you to love me now. I'm telling you. But my job is easier. Pastor Josh, his job is easier. Pastor Craig, his job is easier. When the congregation is at peace with one another. It is enjoyable. But when I get a phone call and say, Pastor, this brother is really bad, they're a wolf in sheep's clothing and all of these, and there's no peace, then it's very difficult. And that's why the Bible includes this with the exhortation to respect leaders. Be at peace among yourselves. So I'll make you a deal. I'll be a good pastor if you be at peace among yourselves. Is that a good deal? All right, so if there's someone in here you don't like, you're quarreling with, you're fighting with, you have a problem with, be friends again, okay? Praise the Lord. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. The truth is this, if the church is divided at Calvary Chapel Kampala, it's not. But if it is, if it becomes that way, then it will not stand. And from my heart, I know this, that God is doing a great work here. I know that. With Calvary Chapel Kampala, God is doing a great work. The church is growing, we're reaching out, we're really coming against the kingdom of darkness. And whenever God starts to do a great work in a person, in a place, then Satan will also try to do a great work there. And church history proves that one of the greatest works that Satan can do is to try to divide people against one another. To try to divide men and women of God against one another. Because of things that are not even important. Whether you're called a bishop or a pastor, people divide. And it is my prayer that we would live at peace with one another. At peace with other believers in town. You know we're not the only church? I think you know. To work together, to live at peace with those who in truth call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can really see God continue His work in this place. Is that what you want? That's what I want. That's what the Lord wants, more importantly. Continuing on in verse 14, from verse 14 to 22, really teaching us how to live day by day. Learning how to live. First of all, living with one another. Verse 14, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. This is talking about our relationship again with one another. We're to be at peace with one another, but we also have a job to do together in a ministry one to another. Some people think, maybe you do, I don't know. Some people think that the work of the ministry is the pastor's job only. That the person in the congregation, you, whoever, maybe you think this, the job is to sit, to listen, to receive, to go, and to have a nice day. But when it comes to the real work of the ministry, that's for the pastors. That's for the people who are trained in that area or whatever. The truth is this, the job of the pastor, biblically, is to equip the saints, that's you, did you know you're a saint? You don't have any tall hats or big crosses or anything, but you're a saint. To equip the saints for the work of the what? The ministry. You're the one who is supposed to be doing the ministry. I'm the one who's supposed to be equipping you to do the ministry. You're teaching the Word of God. Amen? You're a minister. All of you. Unless you're not saved, then you need to get saved. And be a minister for the Lord. And throughout the Scripture, it talks about this one another ministry. And I love to hear about people encouraging other people without my involvement in the church. Because that's what it's talking about here. It's talking about you going to your brother, you going to your sister in the Lord and encouraging them, even confronting them about sin. That's what it says in verse 14. Warn those who are unruly, involved in sin. You can read Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Confronting, counseling, for comforting. Comfort the faint-hearted. Did you know today here, there are people who are faint-hearted? People who are sad, people who have just lost something in their life, people who are suffering emotionally, people who are suffering physically. There are people here today. And I'm going to tell you this, as the church continues to grow, it is impossible for me to minister, to comfort, to correct, to encourage every person in a deep way that they need. I do my best. But the Bible says that you are called to comfort one another. You can't really comfort someone if you don't know them. Praise the Lord. Each week I say something like this. You need to get to know the people who go to church with you. Some of you are visiting for the first time. You're welcome. But if you visit for the second time and for the third time, at least greet some people. Get to know them. This is a family. And when one member is suffering, then the Bible says all the members do what? Suffer. When one member rejoices, then all the members rejoice. But if you just come in and sit down and listen and receive, we praise God for that. But if you just do that and leave and never get to know anybody around here, then how are you going to be a minister to them? God wants you to minister to someone in this room possibly today. Someone even outside of this room in the body of Christ. Is this practical? Is this day-to-day stuff? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. You see why God comforts you? Why God encourages you? It is so that you can turn around and encourage somebody else. Praise the Lord. To uphold the weak. To be patient with all. I have trouble with that one. Do you? Being patient with all? You can ask some of the guys, girls on staff here. Sometimes I lose patience. Be patient with all. Aren't you glad the Lord is patient with you? I am. And all, see that no one, verse 15, renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Don't repay evil for evil, and that includes being bitter at somebody. Being unforgiving, that is evil. By the way, when someone does something bad to you and you just get angry at them and you're mad and you gossip about them and you talk badly, that's repaying evil for evil. If someone hits you on one side of your face, then what we want to do is hit them on both sides of the face. Jesus said, if someone hits you on one side, what do you do? You turn and let them hit on the other. And then you say, God bless you. Praise the Lord. If someone wants to take your coat, give them your cloak also. I don't see many people wearing cloaks, but if you have one, you can give it. That's in our relationship with one another. In our relationship with the Lord, some very practical things as well. Verse 16, 17 and 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. These have to do with our relationship with the Lord. Rejoice, that means you're joyful, you're happy, you're excited. The Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. Have you lacked joy in your life? Do you lack joy in your life? There's one place I know where you can find it again. That's in the presence of the Lord. in the presence of the Lord. If you lack joy in your life, there's a guarantee place to find joy in your life, and that is in the presence of the Lord. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. People say, being a Christian, being a saved, being a believer is boring. Because, you know, now I have to stop doing these things with my girlfriend. Now I have to stop drinking so much beer. Now I have to stop going to these places. Now how can I have fun? People say. Being a saved must be boring. What do? Just sit there and read the Bible all day or what? I can tell you this morning that being saved is fun. It's exciting. Some of you know. Some of you are thinking, I'm saved and I'm not excited. Well, I'll tell you how to get there. Spend time with Jesus Christ. Spend time with the Lord. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's not my word. That's the word of God. But I know it's true because I've experienced it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Whenever I read that verse, pray without ceasing, I get convicted. Do you? Notice the command, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. When I read pray without ceasing, I get convicted because I think, you know what I think when I read pray without ceasing? Do you really want to know what I think? I think, ay, ay, ay. How can I pray without ceasing? Does that mean I just, in the morning I get up and I just start praying, dear Lord, now I'm going to start my prayer and now at the, and then just keep praying throughout the day, and then someone says to me, Pastor Brian, can I talk to you? No, I'm busy, I'm praying without ceasing. And then at the end of the day, I go to bed and I try to pray during the night while I'm sleeping. Pray without ceasing is not so much talking about actual words of prayer continually as it is talking about a continual connection with the Lord. A continual heart of prayer, heart of the knowledge that God is there. Almost like when you go with your friend. You know that your friend is there. You can always say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? Your friend is always there. You can talk to them anytime. That's pray without ceasing. The head, the knowledge, the heart that Christ is always there with me. I can always say, hey, you know, I don't have to kind of go find Him and then pray and then kind of go away from Him and do my thing. Do you get that? A constant attitude of a relationship with the Lord. That's what it's talking about here. So that any time you can pray. I just prayed right now. I pray while I'm preaching. And our goal should be a constant communication with the Lord. Praise God. And everything give thanks. Everything? Yes, everything. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. How does a person quench the Spirit? The Holy Spirit in the Bible is oftentimes seen as a flame, as a fire, isn't He? The day of Pentecost, as a fire, a flame of fire above the believers' heads. And you can think of quenching a fire. You would pour water on the fire to quench the fire. You pour water on the fire to quench the fire. Isn't that right? Don't quench the Holy Spirit. How do I pour water on the Holy Spirit of fire? Well, it's simple. To reject or doubt His work in your life. The Holy Spirit constantly, He is a person. He is God. He is continually wanting to do a work in your life and my life. He's continually wanting to speak to you, to direct you, to lead you and to guide you, to do things in your life. We quench the Spirit when we know what He wants to do, but we refuse to do it. That's quenching the Spirit. We know that He wants to burn in our heart, but we kind of say, no, let me just pour a little water there. I don't want so much. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to do a mighty work in this place, in our lives, in this church. Don't quench the Spirit. And it starts personally, on a personal level.
Do not despise prophecies. There are some today in the church that teach that the gift of prophecy, along with some other gifts of the Spirit like healing and miracles, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, there are some who teach that those gifts of the Spirit are no longer active in the church today. And that's sad because God wants to do those things in the church today. There's no good reason to believe that. And I believe that this despising prophecies has to do with the gift of prophecy in the church. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I grew up in a church like this, and you know what? It was boring. And you could tell that the Lord had not been there in a while. I think it's, you know, Calvary Chapel, we believe in the gifts and the work of the Holy Spirit today, according to the Bible. But we're not, some people say, they look at Calvary Chapel and they think, what are you? Are you Pentecostal? What? Some people say, you know, Calvary Chapel, the Pentecostal people say, you know, you're not Pentecostal. And then you have the other side of the spectrum, the other side, they say, you know, you're not, what's a good word? Let's just say they say you're too Pentecostal. Amen. Calvary Chapel, in case you were wondering, maybe you're here for the first time, maybe you don't know, Calvary Chapel is kind of right in the middle. We're not extreme Pentecostals. And we're not extreme non-Pentecostals. Whatever you want to call it. Amen? We're kind of right in the middle. I like it that way. Let's be open to the work of the Holy Spirit here. Let's be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. And listen, the Holy Spirit will work in accordance with His Word. He wants to use the gift of prophecy in the church today, but listen, He wants to use it according to the guidelines that are given in the Word of God. Did you know the Word of God teaches us how to use the gift of prophecy? Did you know that? Speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit has given some of you the gift of speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. But He will use that gift in accordance with the Word of God. Did you know that God's Word teaches us how to use the gift of speaking in tongues in a public way? Did you know that? So we're right in the middle. We're not the ones who say, no, no. We're not the ones who say, yes, yes. We say, yes. We say, yes, Holy Spirit, work. We won't quench you. We don't want to despise prophecies. We want to do it just the way that you want us to do it. Amen? I pray that that would happen more and more. Test all things, verse 21. Hold fast to what is good. This verse, I wish, was posted on every single door of every single church in the world. I wish this verse was posted right as you exit the church. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. Because the truth is this, in the church today, there is not a lot of testing going on. What do you mean by testing, Pastor? Well, when I say the gifts of the Spirit are still available for the church today, I want you to say, let me see that in the Word of God. If I say, God will only bless someone who gives 10,000 and above, I want you to test that from the Word of God. And there are false prophets in the church today. There are false teachers in the church today, here in Kampala, on television, on the radio, and they're teaching things that Not only are they not found in the Word of God, but they are the exact opposite of what is found in the Word of God. If you have faith, then you are rich. That's the teaching. You know it. If you have faith, then you will be rich with money, with the foundation will start, the visa will get, you know, all these things. And the Word of God says in one place, it says many. In one place, it says God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. That is the exact opposite of the prosperity gospel, the prosperity teaching in the world today. It's the opposite. And when I listen and I see people giving the money, giving the money, giving, it's not just here, it's everywhere. To these people, I just think, I wish, I pray, I wish they would just test that. Just open up the Bible and read it. I feel strongly about this. Can you tell? In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, this is a command, by the way. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Praise the Lord. When someone says, I'm receiving a message from the Lord, you need to give me 20,000. Do not believe every spirit. When I am teaching, listen, this applies to me too. I'm teaching. I'm not above this testing. When I am teaching something, you had better make sure what I'm saying is true. And if you find in the Word of God that what I've said is not true, by the way, I make mistakes. If you find something, you know, Pastor, and you come to me and say, Pastor, you taught this, but I found in the Word of God it says this. You know what I'm going to say to you? Don't touch the Lord's anointed. Get behind me, Satan. I'm going to say, praise God. Praise God, because that's what I want people to do, is to study God's Word and to believe what's in here. The Apostle Paul was in the church at Ephesus for 3 years, and as he left the church, he had planted the church, he had taught the Word of God for 3 years, and as he was leaving, they were crying, they were weeping, because they didn't want him to go, and he declared to them, he said, I am weeping. I know that after my departure, that ravenous wolves will come into the congregation. They will not spare the flock. He was talking about false teachers. They're in the congregations today. I pray they're not here in this congregation. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil, verse 22. I love the message of abstinence, sexual abstinence, abstaining until you're married. I love that. I'm so glad. I'm proud of Uganda for preaching that message for the First Lady, Mrs. Museveni. But abstinence is more than sexual immorality, abstinence. Amen? Let's take it to the next level. Abstain, that's abstinence, from every form of evil. Let's preach abstinence for lying. Abstain from lying until you're married. No, not, don't even do it when you're married. Praise the Lord. Abstain from theft. Abstain from pornography. Abstain from every form of evil. But I love the abstinence campaign that's happening in the city. And it closes the letter, verse 23. To rely on the Lord. We've seen how we're supposed to live, right? We've seen how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to live, but we need help. I don't know if you know that. I know. I need help. I was impatient this morning. And now when I'm preaching that I should be patient with all the Holy Spirit is saying to me, you were impatient. I need help. We need help to live these things, and that's the good news of verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, who will also do it. Who is going to make me these things? Who is going to make me patient? Who is going to make me a comforter to others? Who is going to help me stop saying bad things about people I don't like in the church? Who is going to help me? And the Bible says, he who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's God who will do it. I love these verses. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. God is the one who does the work of sanctification. That means making us better, set apart from evil. When you read these things, did you think, ay, 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 ay? Did you think, how am I? Pray without ceasing. Give thanks for everything. Rejoice always. How am I going to do that? You're not going to do it. The Lord is. You can't do it. The Lord can. And that's why the Bible says we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but it is not I, it is Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's God who's going to do it. He who began a good work in your life will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Has God started a work in your life? Has God done a work? Have you been saved? There's good news. He is going to continue his work in your life until the day that Jesus Christ comes back for you. Is that encouraging? After the service, why don't you encourage one or two people with those words? God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Let's stand together. And Father, we do thank you for your promise. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, that even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself. Lord, we praise you most of all that our lives are a work of yours. We are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would encourage us and comfort us with the knowledge that you will complete your work in our life. Father, help us to do all of these things we read this morning. Help us to do all of these things in our daily lives as we live for you, as we wait for your return. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.